32. A Link to London. Lucy. Chief Constable Slade's brows formed an almost perfectly horizontal slash across his forehead. "I should lock you up for obstruction of justice and tampering with evidence." We were next door to the Slade's cottage, seated in the low-ceilinged main room that served as the police station's central office. Chief Constable Slade sat at his desk, glowering down at the sheaf of papers I had given him.
"No matter whose daughter you are."
I had come to Shellingford, prepared to encounter something along these lines. In addition to the suicide note from Lord Linley, the Chief Constable was glaring down at a notarized document from Inspector Lestrade of Scotland Yard, as well as a letter from Holmes himself, identifying me and issuing a request, or knowing Holmes closer to an order, that I be given every assistance in my investigation into Alice Gordon's disappearance. "You could certainly do that," I said, "but then I would immediately send a telegraph message to Scotland Yard, and you would have to explain to them, and not just to me, why and how you're being blackmailed into turning a blind eye to the opium smuggling that's been going on at this port." Chief Constable Slade's head snapped up, his mouth opening and closing before he managed to force words out.
"What? How?"
"I assume the opium is being smuggled in to avoid the cost of import taxes," I said. "Otherwise, the business would be legal. Dirty and morally reprehensible, but completely within the bounds of the law. Which would mean there would be no need to bother with blackmailing the local law enforcement officer." Slade continued to stare at me, his eyes bulging. I held up the London police helmet plate that I'd found in his living room. "You would also have to explain how and why you came to be in possession of part of a dead policeman's uniform." The color drained from his face, leaving it ashen, with unhealthy blotches in his cheeks. He hardened his jaw.
"That doesn't prove anything."
"My own husband is a police officer with Scotland Yard." Despite his bluster, I could see the underlying fear in the chief constable's manner. I tried to speak gently. "I know what the uniform looks like. I also know that this number," I rubbed my thumb across the row of numbers at the bottom of the plate, "is the particular identification number of Inspector John Swafford, who was found murdered down at the Docklands in London less than a week ago. He was promoted through the ranks and no longer wore the constable's uniform. But I have a photograph of him soon after he joined the force, wearing a helmet with this exact number on it." Chief Constable Slade took several shallow, rapid breaths, but he didn't speak. I kept going, shifting my hand just slightly so that it was within easy reach of the ladysmith I had in my bag. I might feel horribly sorry for Slade and his wife, but I'd also known men to commit murder with far less motive than the chief constable had, and I didn't want the engraving on my tombstone to read, "Here lies Lucy Kelly. She was sympathetic, but stupid." "Was Inspector Swafford here? Did he find out about the smuggling?"
"No."
His voice burst out, hoarse and desperate.
"What you're really asking is whether or not I killed him."
He pinched the bridge of his nose, shutting his eyes.
"I didn't. As God's my witness, I didn't kill him. Inspector Swafford was never here. I never even laid eyes on him. But I'm afraid," he took a shuddering breath, "I'm afraid I may have sent his brother to his death."